Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. It's a pleasure to be back with you leading worship this morning, and welcome in the new year on this beautiful Sunday morning. I want to thank Karen for filling in for Louise while she's away, and so that we continue to be able to sing beautifully in our worship this morning. As always, we acknowledge that the land that upon which we gather is unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Epic, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship, and we pay our respects to the indigenous Mi'kmaq people who have occupied this island for over 12,000 years past, present, and future. And so let's prepare ourselves for worship. The new year begins in the darkest part of the year. And as the new year begins, we remind ourselves that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. Thanks be to God. Eyes shine, for your light has come. Lift up your eyes and look around. Come, let us worship the God of light and joy and peace. be seated. Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. O Lord of all things bright and beautiful, may we begin this day in your name. Light of all light, our dayspring of hope, may we find warm reflections of your countenance in the face of each brother, sister, stranger, friend. As we work for your world this day, may our hunger be for justice and our thirst for peace. Feed us with your presence and strengthen our hearts and steady our hands for the business of loving your creation. As children of the light, may we walk in your radiance this day. And we continue to pray together in familiar words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the church calendar, the season of Epiphany began on Wednesday of this week with the Day of Epiphany. In the Protestant church, typically we celebrate Epiphany not with a Wednesday service. Protestants are only used to coming to church once a week. And so we celebrate Epiphany on the first Sunday after Christmas. So when you hear the 12 days of Christmas, that song, it's really speaking about the time between Christmas and Epiphany. And so here we are. During the season of Epiphany, which takes us right up to the season of Lent, the primary image is of light. And so throughout the scriptures that you're going to hear over the next few weeks, you'll find images of light, images of revelation, of unexpected surprise as we consider what it means for Jesus, the Christ child, to have been born in the world. And so we begin our Epiphany season with a traditional reading from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was writing in a time of turmoil and change and danger for his country, and he imagines light coming into the world, bringing change. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. And then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, and the wealth of the nations shall come to you, and a multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all of those from Sheba shall come. And they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. On Epiphany, it is traditional to read the story of the visit of the Magi. This is really not a Christmas story, it's an Epiphany story. And you will hear echoes in this story of the passage I just read from Isaiah. So from Matthew, Matthew, by the way, is the only one of the four Gospels that tells this story. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." Now when King Herod heard about this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' And when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Friends, may this be the gospel of Christ for us today. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we hear words of Scripture, as we reflect on their meaning together, we ask that what we hear and what we think and what we experience might lead us into the light, might give us courage and hope, might give us the peace and encouragement that we need as we begin this new year. And so we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Stephen King's novel, Needful Things, is set, like many of his novels, in a small New England town, a town called Castle Rock, Maine. And in that town, there is a new gift shop, which is opened by a seemingly kind old man, a man named Leland Gaunt. Now, the allure of this new shop is that for each of the townspeople, the shop's inventory includes an item thought to be the most needed thing in their life. However, as it turns out, none of the people in the town can afford to buy the item. And so he offers them a trade, a favor done for him will secure that most wanted item. Each townsperson is to play what appears to be a simple trick, a prank, on another one of the townspeople. And so the residents of Castle Rock begin to turn on one another, until at last the whole town is in chaos. Now, Leland Gaunt turns out to be none other than the devil himself. Traveling through the countries of the world, he has been selling junk to people who thought they were purchasing the item that they most wanted. But what the shoppers failed to notice when were the words printed above the shop's entrance, "Caveat emptor, let the buyer beware." Well, friends, in these opening days of the new year, as we anticipate the unfolding of 2026, let us consider for a moment what it is that you and I buy into as the most important thing in life. A.J. Jacobs, in his wonderful book, A Year of Living Biblically, confesses that although he is a reverent agnostic, he says, "Whether or not there is a God, I believe that there is something important about the idea of sacredness." So what do you consider sacred in your life? On the first Sunday in January, as we celebrate the annual feast, we celebrate the annual feast of Epiphany. And an epiphany is a revelation, a sudden and shocking realization. Like when we're reading a difficult book, seeking to follow a complicated argument, and we come across that one luminous sentence which illuminates the understanding of the whole book. Well, for Christians, that epiphany, that shocking, sudden realization, is the birth of Christ at Christmas. The surprising revelation that God has entered into our world, into human history, into our very lives. And Epiphany asks the question, where do we see God to be present among us and in us? What are the signs of the sacred among us? So today, as we consider the story of the Magi and their perilous journey to the tiny town of Bethlehem, we also consider our own quest, our own search for significance, our own yearning and discovery of deep meaning. And using Matthew's story of the wise men as a guide, let's think about this quest for that one needful thing. The story tells us that the wise men came to Jerusalem in search of the one who had been born King of the Jews because they wanted to worship him. In other words, they, like us, were searching for the object of their worship, the most revered thing, the main thing. According to the writer, the wise men's quest begins with a star in the sky. For them, the search for the main thing in life begins with an upward look, a glance toward the heavens. Now, this is less about astrology and more about attitude. Their discovery started with what might be called a position of awe and wonder. Later this year, Canadian astronaut Jeremy Hansen will make history. As part of the Artemis II mission, he will be the first Canadian to orbit the moon, which is a key milestone in humanity's return to lunar exploration. Now, one could argue that in tough economic times, this is an extravagance. Isn't there, at times like this, a need to be more restrained with taxpayers' dollars? But the reality is that humanity has always had a need to launch out, as it were, beyond ourselves, to reach upward and outward, investing ourselves in going places we've never been before, to search for that awe and wonder in the world and in the natural world. And so likewise, in our story, the discovery of the needful thing begins with a star in the sky, leading three foreigners to strange new places. Now, from Matthew's point of view, the three Magi were authentic spiritual seekers. But like most seekers, they needed a start to help them through alien territory. In a sermon in the 5th century, Pope Leo the Great wrote, "A start of new brilliance appeared to the three wise men in the East, that was brighter and more beautiful than others, attracting the eyes and hearts of those looking on." So friends, what attracts your eyes and hearts? As we seek meaning in our lives, we ought to be mindful of the stars that we follow. We are reminded here of the importance of spiritual guides, men and women who have traveled this way before, friends who can illuminate the steps we take, wise ones whose wisdom that we can rely on. None of us take this journey alone, and many have trod this way before. So who are your spiritual guides? Whose trusted wisdom do you rely on? Now, as I said earlier, the dominant image of the Epiphany season is light. And the star is a visible reminder that our search for meaning is not the blind stumbling of those in complete and utter darkness. Rather, our whole life, indeed all of creation, is illuminated. hints are given, paths are lit, ways are shown. Now, sometimes we do indeed walk in deep darkness. Sometimes life seems permanently stuck at the winter solstice. But the story of the wise men reminds us that the darkness is suddenly and unexpectedly pierced by light, a star, ever distant, beckoning us to a new place. A touch, a phone call, a memory, a book, a symphony, a sermon, fresh snow, a lonely tulip in the spring, a birth, a death, a friend, a lover, family. These things become stars for us, brightening our way, illuminating the path, calling us out of darkness into the future. The search for deep meaning, for the needful thing in life, is also a journey. And Matthew states that the wise men started in the east and moved west. They left home, that most familiar places, the status quo, and ventured out toward the unknown. And it would be a journey not unlike that of Abraham and Sarah in the Hebrew Scriptures, who at the sudden and unexpected call of God departed their native land and traveled toward a land of promise. And like any journey, this journey for the needful thing in life involves enduring some rough spots along the way, negotiating a curve or two, climbing some hills, and passing through and out of dark valleys. At home, these three magi had all the comforts of princely living. But something was missing. They were restless. They were unsatisfied. And then they were given a common vision of life, with a center and meaning and a new kind of deity whose essence was peace and love. They were willing to risk everything to find the reality their vision promised. They knew that the journey would be perilous, and they could not be sure that they would find their King of Peace. They knew the dangers of deserts and mountain passes, of bandits who preyed on travelers. And they knew all of this before they left. And yet their vision was worth the gamble. And the lingering question in this story is, what deep yearning for something other than the familiar led them to travel so far? And for us, what is your deepest yearning? How far would you journey to obtain it? The Magi wanted something more than they already had, something their vision promised them. They had the courage to wager their lives, their privilege and comfort, their pleasure and reputation, to start out under the gray winter skies. And the gifts they brought were impressive. They were of great value. But their greatest gift was the journey itself, the courage that prompted it, and their faith in their vision. Their coming to that humble stable in that backwater town was the highest homage they could pay. And so, friends, we will never find deep meaning staying in one place. There is always a journey to be taken, new paths to be trod, new insights to be gained. Complacency and risk aversion are the enemies of faith. And lastly, the discovery of that which is most sacred, that one needful thing, frequently takes us through and comes out of some of the darkest times and events of our lives. Consider, for instance, the role of the tyrant King Herod in today's gospel story. As the account of the wise men's quest is reported, Herod is spoken of no fewer than 5 times in the 12 verses. His reign provides the context in which the wise men's quest and discovery takes place. It is Herod who is threatened by and resistant to the news of the birth of a new king. It is Herod who consults the religious authorities and then deceptively advises the wise men concerning the birth of the Messiah. And it is Herod about whom the wise men are warned in their dream. He is vindictive and dangerous. And though Herod may claim the best supporting actor in this drama, his role remains secondary. As in any drama, supporting roles are never meant to upstage the lead players. And so the story is very carefully crafted to show that the power of evil, the power of might and violence, is never the real thing, never the main thing, never the needful thing. An innocent little baby in a smelly barn is more powerful than the devious plans of a tyrant king. As the first few verses of John's gospel remind us, the darkness shall not overcome the light. And so the discovery of the needful thing frequently, inevitably, takes us through and comes out of some of the darkest and most dangerous and deceptive times of our lives. Like Leland Gaunt in Stephen King's novel, there are powers that want to lead us from the truth, that want to draw us into hatred and violence and cynicism and division and despair. And like the wise men, we must find the courage to resist, to seek something higher and worthier of the one we seek. The wise men finally arrive at the place in which the star was located. Their quest has brought them, has led them to the discovery of life's needful thing, the Christ child. To say that the wise men obtained what they wanted most is a gross understatement. The gospel declares that they rejoiced with a great joy. The three Eastern visitors fell down before the object of their worship and presented their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The needful things of this world and their value pale in comparison when cast in the light of the main thing in life. At the end of the story, I am left wondering how the wise men made it to the stable at all. Surely they must have thought about turning back. A dark voice within them must have grumbled, rebelled, scorned them. Somewhere along the way, they must have lost sight of their star. So how did they make it through? Well, surely the camaraderie of the wise men is the key element of the story. There are three of them. Few people can make such a journey alone. The journey toward the center, toward deep meaning, is seldom easy. We need one another. We need faithful companions if we are to make this journey. Without companions on the way, we might despair at every barren desert. And yet, despite the quick and easy communication of social media, We live in the loneliest time in human history. We are separated and isolated from each other, aching for friendship and deep connection and community. It seems to me that one of the great gifts that the church can offer, one that speaks to our time, is the companionship of like-minded people following the same star. And so look around you. These are the wise ones who will accompany you on your journey as you seek the truly needful thing. Friends, let the journey begin. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. As we step into a new year, we pause to celebrate the faithful work of our mission service partners around the world. These partners, farmers, educators, community leaders, and local organizations are on the ground responding to needs, creating opportunities, and building stronger, more resilient communities. Through your prayers and your support for mission and service, they are able to focus on what matters most. Financial support helps ease the practical challenges of running programs, providing meals, training leaders, and responding to emergencies. Your partnership allows them to carry out their work with steadfastness and care. As 2026 begins, our partners have already been looking ahead with intentionality and purpose. They, and I would say we, are preparing to support people seeking stability, respond to crisis, both local and global, strengthen communities, such as our own Trinity community, and equip people with the skills, confidence, and opportunities to thrive. Each partner continues to adapt and innovate, finding new ways to meet the needs of their communities today while preparing for the challenges of tomorrow. This year and in the years to come, your support helps ensure that these efforts can continue. Together, we walk alongside partners who are living out God's call to justice, care, and hope, creating spaces where people are seen, supported, and empowered. As we look forward to 2026, we do so with gratitude for what has been achieved and with intentional hope for all that is yet to come.
Good morning. The worship team wishes to thank Reverend Dr. Andrew Richardson for leading the service today, and to Karen Brennan for sharing her musical talents in the music leadership of today's service. For any pastoral emergencies today, Reverend Elaine Palmer Harding is unavailable, so please contact Reverend Bob Lockhart. The information is all on the church answering machine. Next Sunday, our student minister, Corrine Anderson, will be leading the service with an assist from Reverend Rachel. Also next Sunday, our junior church and junior youth will return. For additional information on these items and more on the life and work of Trinity Summerside and its work into the community, the bulletin or the January takeaway, which is available at each entrance and on the website, trinitysummerside.ca. Trinity is truly blessed by the people in this community of faith. We thank you for being willing to share your time, talent, and treasure all year round.
The coming of Jesus into the world is an act of generosity. It is an indication of the generous heart of God, the self-giving nature of the one we worship. And Epiphany calls us then to respond with like-minded generosity. Your gifts to this church, to Mission and Service, to the other charities and things that you support are a sign of our faithfulness. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give thanks that you have come into the world, that you illuminate our path, that you lead us into the future of light and peace and love. And may these gifts multiply. May they be an act of faithfulness as we contribute in whatever way we can to your mission in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. Pray for ourselves and for the whole people of God. Let us pray. God of light and life, our prayers rise before you this day in hope and faith. We pray for your church, for this congregation, for united churches across the country, for the General Council and its leaders. We pray for wisdom and boldness in our mission. And we pray that being church together makes a difference in our lives and in our world. Flame of abundant love, be our joy in proclaiming your good news to the world. May we be the star for others, leading them to deeper meaning and service, helping them find that needful thing. We pray for all who are coming to faith, all who wonder about faith, and all who are struggling with faith. Light of all creation, guide us to lead and teach and nurture your disciples. We pray for those in need of food and shelter and clothing, and of God's healing touch. And especially those for whom our prayers are especially desired. Comforter and of the suffering, warm our hands to loving service. We pray for the world, especially where there is trouble and suffering, far away or nearby. Today we are especially cognizant of the people of Venezuela. Ember of steadfast care, fuel our passion to challenge injustice and violence and to pursue peace and reconciliation. We pray for the land on which we stand, the peoples, creatures, plant life, and waters around us. Star blaze of glory, lead us to care for this fragile earth, our island home, and to heal the circle of creation. God of radiant light, your love illumines our hope before we know them, and our needs before we ask. Kindle your flame within us, that in our prayers and service we may know your transforming presence at work and in the world around us. And all this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, the light of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll stand for the benediction. Friends, now God sends us out by a different road. Now Jesus walks with us down a different road. And now the Spirit illumines a different road. And may God, who is Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer, be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.